gonna have a lot of fun.
All right, Ed Raymer with you for the Evan Lee Raymer Show. We're back here, and Beth Smith is joining us tonight. Jonathan Yancey is here, and we'll get to why Jonathan wasn't here a couple of weeks ago in a few minutes. How are both y'all doing?
Great.
Well,
get up to
great.
Your mic a little closer, Beth, if you would, please, about 2 inches. Thank you.
How about that?
That's good. What's been going on, Jonathan? I'll start with you first. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Feel a lot better. Sorry for not being here a couple of Sundays ago.
You had me worried.
I did. I know.
You had me worried.
I was worried, too. I was sick. Boy, I had never been this sick ever in my life. And, boy, it put us out for the count.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend of mine that had COVID, if that's what you had.
Right.
And he said he said, I've never, you know, and it made a believer out of him. Mm. Dr. Fauci was not near as crazy as he thought he was going in. So, Beth, you're still as bitter as ever. How are you doing?
Better.
Oh, no, I meant to say you're better than
that. I gotta admit, that is one adjective no one has ever used for me. They've told me often I'm too positive. I know that Tanya's not listening, but
okay.
I'm not Pollyanna. But, yeah, no, I'm not bitter.
Good.
And, yes,
okay.
I've been just fine. I got my vaccine with the new variants.
Right.
At Beckman's, the best pharmacy in Murfreesboro, just a few weeks ago.
Okay. So. And we were talking about Beth and I over the phone the other night, and Jonathan, you and your wife both, I think, had a touch of this stuff. But Beth and I are a little bit older, and we have agreed we need to get our vaccinations because we're a little bit older. Mm. Not much, just...
Enough.
Enough, yes.
Yes.
Old enough to know better. You
exactly.
Know. And
wine is better with time. So
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Nice.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. They're going to be with me for the balance of the hour, and they're running for their respective congressional seats. We're going to talk all about that and see what they've done. This will be the last time we have to get them in before the election early voting starts. Did we decide Wednesday? It's the 16th,
October 16th,
I believe.
Yes, okay. It is.
And please, I mean, it's too late to register to vote now, but please go vote. Get off the couch. Like President Obama said, please get off the couch and go vote. You know what he's saying, okay? He's just being nice about it. Just get off the couch and get off your couch and go vote, you know. All right. Connor, if you could, let's open this thing up. If we would, Connor's on the board, and our guests are with us. We're ready to go. But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Ramirez. I'm still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Ramer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your Good Neighbor Station, News Radio, WGNS.
Miami.
And that's a little rock and roll to kick you off tonight. And this is the Edwin Lee Ramer Show, and I'm your host, Ed Raymer. This show is produced at studios of WGNS, AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you can reach all of us here tonight, Beth, Jonathan, myself, all of us. You can reach us with your questions, comments, or your thoughts at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. Same as the AM call letters. WGNS 1450. Been that way for more than 75 years. And you're welcome if you like. If you don't want to go on the air, we understand. And you can send me a text to my private number, my own number, which is, it's out there. All you got to do is Google it. 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Now, you can watch us on YouTube Live. You can watch us on Facebook Live. On YouTube, you can go to WGNS Radio, or News Radio, WGNS.com. You can look us up there. There's so many ways, and the station has a website, WGNSradio.com. And there's so many ways you can listen. All my shows since day one are on podcast. And you can also download the WGNS app and take WGNS with you WJNS with you. Go wherever you want. It sounds good, doesn't it? And listen whenever you wish. And take a listen to Angela Bingham. She's here every Sunday at 6 o'clock doing Simplicity, doing a great job, and has been for several years now. And we love her to death. And she's just a positive outlook to have on life itself. And check out Jason Qualls through the week. And Mike Sparks, I think, is on at 5 o'clock here on Sundays. All these folks in the good programming here and good folks here at WGNS. Thank you both for being with me tonight. This was probably the last time we'll have a chance to talk. Beth, I want you to expand on our conversation that we were talking about. And I always like to get on candidates in their second visit with us after you've done this. Over the years I've done this. What have you learned?
Oh, Lord.
What have you learned?
We don't have time.
Okay.
We don't have time. I've learned that there are a lot of Democrats in Middle Tennessee and possibly all over Tennessee. I've learned that they call themselves Blue Dots. And
right.
I plan to meet more of them
right.
post-election.
Right.
I've learned a lot about why I'm seeing so many issues. I've learned why I'm seeing so many issues with people and health care.
True.
So many issues in education. Spending 15 years in a classroom, I learned about those. But in the past 6 months, I understand more why we are having those issues, and it's all
right.
about funding. I'm kind of brokenhearted. I feel like the current administration has really hung us out to dry. I'm really hoping that people yeah. will vote so
right.
that they can get some power back.
And Dan, you and Jonathan were talking about that just a while ago before we went on air. Jonathan, the governor's always talking about the surplus. He's talking about the rainy day fund and all that. Well, you know, for some folks, it's been raining a pretty good yeah. while. It's been awfully cloudy for a lot of these folks for several years now.
Yep. Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Starting with Medicare expansion
absolutely.
Alone.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing, young man? What's going on? What have you learned?
I've learned a lot. Just like Beth, I think the biggest thing I learned was that there are a lot more Democrats around here than we think.
Sure. I've said that all along.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of Republicans who are not going to vote Republican. I had a really good conversation with the voter who... just walking, and when I'm out there canvassing and I see people, I just go talk to them. I don't,
right.
just go find
yeah.
out what they're about.
No matter where they live or what,
right.
yeah, if they're
yep.
in your district
just,
or not, you know, let's
exactly,
talk.
Exactly. Yep. And so we got to talking, and he was real hard on me at first, right? So I'm a patient person. I listen and let him talk. Gave him my brochure, let him look at the back of it. And we started talking. He says, man, there's 7 things in the back. He says, man, I can't believe we agree on 6 of the 7 things. And they said, if you had more time, you probably can get me to agree on the 7th one. I said, yeah. It's like I tell people, yes, I'm running as a Democrat, but we probably have more in alignment than you think we do.
You slow down and understand.
Yeah, right. You sit and talk and listen, because, I mean, I'm a father, right? I own property.
Okay.
Like, I care about safety and security like everyone else. You know, it's interesting because there was a, as far as campaign goes, that people ask me, like, the number one question I get about my campaign is, how's it going? And I've been telling people it's going great. But now I got proof, because I got attack ads against me, right? I mean, they would only waste their time and money to attack me if they thought I was a threat.
Well, so I'm sorry I had to do that, but they paid a lot of money for me to go out here and badmouth you both. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's out there.
Sorry,
so.
You know,
but
that's business.
No, you know, I wouldn't dare do that.
But that was validation for me, right? That clearly I'm a threat.
You're
clearly
striking a nerve.
I'm doing something right. That's right. And so, I've learned so much, but I think the biggest thing I've learned outside of, that one is I've learned a lot about myself. It's been very rewarding and humbling. The amount of people that have donated to the campaign, the amount of people that I won't be able to talk to that's still going to vote for me, the amount of support I've gotten, my family and friends have really came close to me and really been praying and loving on me. It's been a truly humbling experience for me. And I've really, really appreciated it. I've learned a lot about myself. I didn't know how I would feel about getting out here talking to people. I've always been a people person.
Sure.
But I've actually liked knocking on doors. I've actually mm-hmm. liked doing it.
Yeah.
It actually has been really fun. It's been enlightening for me.
I was an old insurance man. Okay, life and work for Life and Casualty. Beth, you remember Life and Casualty, National Life Bunch, and all that. They bought each other, and then all that mess. But anyway, and I can remember we had sales meetings where, now fellas, don't be afraid if you're cold canvassing to knock the door. And when you're starting out, that you know, you go up there and you, you know, just.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, boy, I hope nobody's home. Right. And then, yeah, hey, how can I do for you? Oh,
yeah.
Could I borrow a stick of butter, you know? But it's not, you get used to it. Yeah. You must get used to it. I always thought, and I'm not going to do this, and honey, if you're at home listening, don't worry, I'm not going to run for office, okay? That's she said there's two things. She'd never be the wife of a preacher or a politician, so don't worry. I'll stay here at the radio station, do what I can here. But, you know, I always thought I'd make a decent politician because I can talk to anybody about anything. Hence, we have a lot of people here. I've had everybody. I've had preachers. I've had gang members on. We've had former gang members. We've had, you know, gang members like Beth that have been on, and
it finally got out. I was so afraid this was going to happen.
I'm on Beth.
It's just about people. I'm in trouble, man. It's about
people.
Well,
this is my final shot. I won't have to see her again until she runs again. No, seriously. We talk to a lot of people, and you do. And you know, I always bring this up, and I guess the man gets sick of it. He's my brother, and we're proud of Steve. He's done very well. He's a lieutenant fireman at Franklin, City of Franklin. And, you know, when the phone rings, and, you know, hey, we may have a problem over here on 123 Maple Street, you know. Yeah. Well, is it a Democrat or a Republican? That has nothing to do with it. Everybody knows if one house burns, it could hurt everybody else.
Right.
We're all in this together. That's exactly right in what you all are doing and have been doing, you know. And I admire you both. Like I said, I admire anyone that's put their name on a ballot.
It's kind of crazy.
It is.
But it's a lot of fun. And
it can be, yeah. I would imagine it can be.
It is. It's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of really interesting, fun, nice people. I'm of an age. I don't think I'll be running again, but I'm absolutely committed to, from now on, promoting the blue dots in Tennessee.
Well, I've said all along, they're here. Michael Moore made a believer out of me. And you know Michael Moore, the filmmaker. He's out of Michigan,
Cali, probably,
yeah, right. and was raised there in Michigan.
That's right.
But he said, if you will look at the elections, more Democrats vote in elections than Republicans. They always have. Now we've had a couple that's been hamstrung by this Electoral College, who a good friend of ours, my wife and I. My wife knew him first, and it was John Esslinger. He's no longer with us. He had 3 degrees in political science.
Wow.
He was a political junkie. And I had him right here on the show once via phone. He was in Nashville. John, like the rest of us, he'd gotten older. I didn't want him out driving in the middle of the night. And he said, I'll just tell you, I feel like the Electoral College should be done away with. So I think we've reached that point where maybe it's time to do that.
I felt that way in junior high. I sort of gotten in trouble.
I was like,
why do they get more votes? Just because people don't want to live there.
I know.
That was my opinion at 13.
Opinion, it's time to give Puerto Rico a couple of senators.
Way past time.
You know, we've got Beth Smith with us, Jonathan Yancey. They're running for your vote, and which early voting starts Wednesday. Connor's on board. Connor, we're going to go to our first series of breaks. If you would, please, take us to it, and we'll be right back with you. My name is Ed Raymer for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. Stay with us. Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com. Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry, if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com. They've got some competition this time.
Good. Let's keep the heat on.
Okay, and we are back. Thank you, Connor. Appreciate it. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Thank you, Jay Mullins. Tim, thank you and your people at Mullins Jewelers. Been a supporter of this broadcast just about since the beginning, and have always been a big supporter of this station, and especially the sports. And, you know, listen also to Brian and John. You know, Brian Barrett, John Dinkins do a great job calling the sports here. They're into football right now. Basketball will be next. They do a great job.
Okay. Yes, they do.
Where were we? What do y'all got coming up next? You know, and, you know, like I said, I appreciate anyone who puts their name on a ballot. Do you know what's coming up next, or do you just go with it day by day?
I'm thinking.
Fortunately, I where I work at, they're very supportive of me running as a candidate. I don't think I'd be able to do this if I didn't have so much support from my employer. Just
sure.
Be able to have some flexibility. So the next 2 weeks, I'm taking off, and I'm just knocking doors like crazy. Like, just getting.
Is that right?
I am. I I'll start with, Wednesday. And all the way to the 31st, and we are going to be
okay.
We've talked to many, many people. We've knocked on thousands of doors, and there's more to knock on. So that's what I'm going to be doing for the next 2 weeks.
President Kennedy always said, if you shake a person's hand, more than likely you're going to get that vote.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I believe that's
what this. Let me tell you, this is a people center.
Now tell us what area, what district you're in, who you're running against, and where does your district lie?
Yeah, so District 13 is a state house, District 13, which is the western part of Rutherford County.
Okay.
Makes up a big part of Eagleville, the Blackman and Rockville area, and then you have a very small part of Smyrna, a very small part. It's and then you have a large part of Luverne, actually. And that one little strip of Nolensville, so it's the western part of Rutherford County.
Okay.
Running against Robert Stevens. This is his first time running for re-election. He's only been in office mm-hmm. for 2 years.
Now, a part of Nolensville does rest in Rutherford County.
It does. That's it right. It does. I was out there today, actually. Yeah. I was out there today knocking doors, and the neighborhood out there is it's rough to walk. There's a lot of hills, but, did it. And very supportive. Very. The thing about it is that what's been encouraging me, every time I get tired of being out there hours and hours and hours in the sun, I talk with that voter, and they're just encouraged. They're happy that there's another option. People are looking for choices. You mentioned earlier in our break about, that we've got people out there now. We've actually got people on the ballot, quality people.
You're not alone.
We're not alone.
That's right.
You're not alone.
That's
you're not alone as a voter. And we got people out there that truly care. I'm not being biased here. These are really good people that I'm running with. Beth, I met her because of candidate. We're a cohort.
These are quality candidates.
They really
all
are.
All of you are.
Quality people.
Educated people that, far more educated than me. Really, I'm sincere. I'm sincere. They really are. Of course, I was educated in Kentucky and as much as that is possible. And we had a limited program up there, Beth, back then. And... Eighth grade. I'm the only guy. I drove in fifth grade. First guy to drive a car to fifth grade.
Hey, everybody drives a car or a truck out in the country when they're tall enough to do it.
1969 Ford, four on the column. So that's how we learned to drive, along with a lot of lawnmowers and tractors. So anyway, but this is not about me. But you're not alone. And.
No.
Quality candidates, people that are keen on the issues that I didn't know that, and all of a sudden you find and Beth, you'd mentioned that there's things you didn't know that go on in this thing that you have to sort of get an education.
Well, there's a lot of that, but the amazing thing is I meet so many people that when I say, did you know Tennessee has the lowest voter turnout of all the states in the country, and they're
ridiculous.
Amazed. They have no idea.
Utterly ridiculous.
And then I ask them, do you realize that the number one cause of death in children in the state of Tennessee is gunfire? They don't know that.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of things that they're not aware of. They aren't aware of how much money the state, the current administration, has refused from federal funds that would make everyone's lives so much better. And
you can start with Medicare expansion.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That's one of the biggest.
And education.
Oh, education.
Yeah,
And I really don't understand why. Because it's good for all of us. And I don't think these are bad people. And I don't understand why the Republican Party wants to shoot themselves in the foot.
Well, they may not be bad people, Beth, but I'm going to say this is not the candidate saying this is me, but some of them are greedy people too. They're looking out for their own interests. I'm just being honest. Y'all think what you want. You want to get up and walk out. I understand.
disappointing.
I'm disappointed.
It is puzzling, right? It's puzzling because you wonder sometimes why, like Beth said earlier, why would they not do that, right? I mean, the resources are there. Why not use it? But we haven't. And what happens, unfortunately, it ends up being their constituents that get hurt the most.
Right.
And that's, we were talking about people voting against their interests or not voting at all. But to Beth's point, I think a lot of this lack of information about candidates or about what's happening in the political system is by design. It's by design. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a voter yesterday knocking on a door, and they were saying it was so hard to find information about candidates.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to find information about what's going on in the legislature. And it's so hard to find information about anything. And it's like, that's probably all by design. This is why we're 51st in the country.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
When it comes to voter turnout.
I don't doubt that at all.
And it's so hard to live in Tennessee that people are working, like myself, working multiple jobs, right?
Right.
To try to make ends meet. And they're just disconnected from what's happening because it's hard to live in Tennessee now. I've been here pretty much all my life. Since 1995, my dad retired from the military.
Sure. Okay.
We've been here since 1995. We moved from Clarksville. And things have changed so much in the last 30 years, right? In Tennessee. Tennessee yes. was a whole lot more affordable. And now it's not. You got people that are getting pushed out of their homes, their cities and their towns because it's so expensive. We were talking earlier with my daughter. She's 19. She's a sophomore at MTSU right now. 3 years from now, 2 years from now, she'll graduate from college and she's not going to be able to get out. She may not be able to afford rent because it just costs so much to live here. She's right. going to have to live on the outskirts and drive to her job. That's ridiculous. Sure. That's a loss of time, a loss of everything. And that's where we're at in Tennessee.
And then we've had police officers that can't afford to live here either. Right. County.
Yeah. Exactly.
Deputies with the county sheriff's department that live in other counties because they can't afford to buy a home here.
That's right.
Teachers also.
Yeah.
But now,
teachers,
I can't pretend that this is new. Because when I graduated from college in 1980, I couldn't afford to live in Nashville then, and I was teaching in Hillsboro. So I used my parents' address in Nashville, and I lived in Murfreesboro.
Okay.
It was 1980. I don't think anybody's going to come back on me
I don't
about
believe
that.
So, no.
But anyway, so that it really is an old problem. Now it's crazy. And I don't see it getting any better because in my lifetime, world population has doubled twice already. From the time I was born until I was 40, world population doubled the first time. From the time I was 40 until I was 65, it doubled again. So we have to be realistic. We have to pay attention to our resources, land, water, etc. And
understand that climate change is actually real. I mean, you want to talk to people in Florida, you want to talk to people in East Tennessee, you want to talk to people in North Carolina?
Talk to people in Tennessee. We had a tornado in July, like in Tennessee. That hit MTSU. Like, come on.
Talk to people in Alaska. I was there last year. It's melting.
It's melting.
Talk to people out west where the water is drying up and the building is continuing full force like there is no issue at all. Talk to people in Cannon County where the wells are drying up. You don't want to get me started on climate change.
No, I mean, I'm telling you, it's a fact. And
it is.
You know, was it Trump that said we'll have more beautiful beaches because the water level is going down, so there's going to be more sand for people to enjoy around.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, bless it. You know, my oldest cousin Janice, bless it. You know, that's a Southern thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. And I want to throw this in right now. I want to ask, you're the teacher here. Both of you are.
We both are. Yeah.
Do they still teach social studies in school?
Yeah.
Because all I hear about is Kamala Harris and her previous 3.5 years in the White House and her policies. I didn't know a vice president had any policies.
Thank you.
We've got a college kid that was on the air with MSNBC. And he's the kid, great big old boy, said, you know, go to your social studies book and look, you know, and said it'll show you the vice president. She does not, you know, engage. She has a say-so, and I'm sure President Biden asked her that. I mean, that's always been that way. Mm-hmm. But the man who makes the final decision is not, it's not her, it's President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And they're blaming, you know, you've had 3.5 years to do something about, you know. Yeah. No, she hasn't. That is not a fair assessment.
That's the narrative that they tell, though, right? It's easy to catch on to that. And the problem is when you don't go fact check and go look up that information, you just take what you hear, right? And that's exactly what the problem is.
Well, it's so easy. Mm-hmm. I saw a line, and both of y'all being teachers, you'll understand this. It's much easier to govern an uneducated nation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ignorant people. I didn't know some of these people were, I mean, I could lead them down the primrose lane. I got a pretty good line.
Well,
I mean, my wife married me, for goodness sakes. She doesn't tell you something. Bless her heart.
My husband says he stalked me, and it's true, but it was in a nice way, and he showed up with tools and helped me do stuff. So it's not traditional stalking.
Okay. So no charges have been filed.
No.
Yet.
No. It wasn't like that. I shouldn't make light of that because I have been stalked and it's not pleasant. But to your point, ignorant ignorance can be fixed with education.
It can be.
So,
yes.
As I explained to my doctor during COVID, he was very frustrated because people were refusing to get the shot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because Dr. Fauci was a bad guy. Yeah, I know.
For whatever reason. And I told him, I said, you know, I've been teaching in high schools for over 10 years. I have read every textbook out of boredom.
Right.
But I have a science degree from college, and I learned a lot more about viruses as a plant and soil science major than I ever did in high school. In high school, there's very little mention of viruses or bacteria. So when you're talking about a population that is acting on their knowledge based on what they received in high school, it's very basic, and it doesn't cover how viruses operate.
And it doesn't change that much.
No, it really hasn't. Doesn't.
The basic thrust is still there mm-hmm. of how this works. Yep. I mean, now, there are more variants.
Well, there is because we never reached herd immunity. And that is the goal. Of course, this is agriculture talk.
Sure.
So if you have a virus, if you have a condition, your goal is to reach herd immunity.
Sure.
With a vaccination, that takes 70%. We didn't reach that in time before the variant started.
Right.
And now we're in variant season. And according to people I know at Vanderbilt that work with long haulers, it's not going away. And one doctor who had planned on working with long haulers briefly during the pandemic.
Now, what do you mean when you're talking about long haulers?
It's people that have long-term conditions because of COVID.
Okay, okay.
And so they started a division there at Vanderbilt Hospital in the midst of all of it, and he has since realized he's never going to be able to go back to his practice. Mm. He will retire from Vanderbilt working on the same issues. So that's where we are on that, and that's very concerning for everyone.
I know.
Whether they know it or not.
I'm going to get to you in just a minute, Beth. But I mean, I found it's both disgusting and astonishing that I have people that I know for a fact they have drank every form of alcohol you can imagine. Okay, no, I'm serious.
I know.
And have taken drugs, every drug they could possibly ingest in their body. From very reputable suppliers, I'm sure. And are you going to take your COVID shot? No, I don't trust Fauci.
Yeah.
A man that basically spent his life.
Yeah.
The CDC is in Atlanta, I believe. Am I correct?
It is, yeah.
Do you realize what those people do? I was talking to my wife one night about this. Do you realize what those people, how dangerous a place that is?
Mm-hmm.
The bacteria and the viruses they have enclosed in that place that are sealed, the dangerous work these people do every single day. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you're afraid of what Dr. Fauci says. Let me tell you something, John. You say you got sick a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I had a friend that he didn't believe in Dr. Fauci either. COVID put him down. Mm-hmm. He was a younger fellow like you. And he believed in Dr. Fauci when it got done.
Yeah.
And
that's lucky he was fine. He's fine today.
It's too late for a lot of people, unfortunately. But it goes back to there's a distrust of professionals, right? Look at all the book banning. Now, for all these years, we have trusted librarians.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we've decided that we don't want to trust librarians anymore. We don't want to trust the medical providers, right? The medical professionals, we're talking about COVID. We're talking about other things, too. And we're not trusting medical professionals. But yet, we keep talking about, and then we say we trust parents and parent choice. But then parents that want to choose to do certain things with their children when it comes to medical decisions, they say no. Or parents that want to choose to allow their children to read certain books, they say no. So there's just always this contradiction. There's always this hypocrisy going on.
Oh, no.
And then we don't trust teachers, but then we say, let's put guns in your hands. We don't trust them to teach our children. We don't trust them for many things because we want to, continue to put things on them over and over again and blame them for certain things, but then say, oh, let's put guns in their hands because we can't think of any other solution about, gun violence in our state or in our country.
I went back over my life and just in high school and even in a couple of years of college, University of Kentucky, and, I knew, and I really thought about this. I thought, who of my teachers, which at the time, and Beth, you'll relate to this, most were women at that time. Most school teachers were women. Mm-hmm. And there were a few guys around. Now, today, there's a lot of men that are teachers, as there are a lot of women that are lawyers or doctors. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. But I had, in all the years, and I won't name their names, I had two teachers, they were both men, and in high school, that I would have felt comfortable if they had carried a weapon in the environment we're in today. Mm-hmm. Because I know they were avid hunters, they were avid sportsmen, mm-hmm. and they knew what they were doing. And they weren't a couple of nuts. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at the time, they would never have dreamed of carrying a gun into school, even though sitting out in the parking lot in the 70s, 1975, 76, you know where I'm coming from, out in the parking lot, there was guys out there with their pickup trucks, and we had the gun racks in the back window, had the windows rolled down, and had a shotgun or a rifle, because they were probably going pheasant hunting or dove hunting or something after school. Mm-hmm. But they would never have thought of bringing them into the school.
Right.
Man, what a different world we're in.
And again, it goes back to, we just don't have solutions. You know, we're just reactive, right?
But they're very common sense solutions, Johnny. There are solutions.
And the thing about it, you know, responsible gun owners are saying the same thing. But it goes back that they're just ignoring. It goes back to the reason why I'm running, the reason why Beth's running. Mm-hmm. The people are being ignored. And so then we go back to what we said earlier. So who are they really serving? Are they serving the public or are they serving themselves? This is public service. This is for the people, not for whatever interest or whatever private thing is going on. I said, they're doing a great job. If they're private service, they're doing a great job serving the whatever circle of people they're serving.
That circle. And we're starting to get that. And I've had Frank and Carrie Lambert on and Tiffany Fee, and they are the library council, as you know. We had the week before you, Miss Nadine Strawson was here with us. She was a former head for 16 years of the National ACLU. Wonderful guest, wonderful lady, and she was speaking, luckily, and Frank and Carrie set this up for me. Frank, primarily, he is a professor at MTSU, and he had her to come in here, ask her, and he arranged it, and she was good enough to come up here the night before she was speaking on that Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful, it's on the YouTube, you can look it up, whatever, and we were talking then, of course, predominantly about the First Amendment, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And what is ironic to me is that, you know, she talked about, this is a lady now that had at her retirement dinner, Antonin Scalia spoke.
Wow.
She knew him. They got along. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and David Souter. All three Supreme Court justices, there may have been more. That was the three she knew best. And said, in this day and time, Antonin Scalia would have surprised you. Mm-hmm. You know? Because, you know, you read your book, Jonathan, I'll read mine. If you don't like what's in there, there's some words in there you don't like, just put it on the shelf. We don't have to take it out back and burn it or ban it.
That's right, yeah.
You know?
Right, yeah. That's right.
And that's it's utterly ridiculous. Is that for me?
Yes, it is.
It is. We have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead.
Mr. Raymer, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. Is this Jeff?
Yeah, how you doing? I just wanted to tell you, Kenneth, hope y'all are down the home stretch. I hope y'all ate enough food and went enough fields. So hope maybe y'all can exercise or whatever. I wanted to ask Mr. Yancey, I hear your son's a pretty talented cross-country runner. Is that true?
He did all right.
I just want to say, I know you're wanting everybody to get out and vote the next 2 weeks. I know presidential wise they're wanting to have another debate, but Trump told Harris no, so I guess we have to just wait till the election day. I hope everybody, like I said, gets out and vote in Tennessee and really everywhere. I know Tennessee's one of the lowest states for turnout. I hope we can have a good turnout this time in Rutherford County and all over that area. Some really competitive races. I've seen some of the ads Cory Johnson put out for U.S. Senate, but I just want to ask you guys just how you think it has been going, and what do you think your chances are to pull an upset come election day, and I'll hang up and Listen, thank you.
Good hearing
Jeff,
from you, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Jeff, I'll let you in on a secret. He's a sports writer, by the way. Yeah. I guess you know that. Okay.
Yeah. I know Jeff and I, we've spoken, so yeah.
We're going to answer that question. Beth, tell people, first of all, what is your district? Where are you at and who?
Oh, I'm District 14, running for Tennessee State Senate. That includes East Rutherford County, Laverne, Cannon County, Moore County, and Bedford County. And what I tell everyone, especially my grandson who calls me every week to ask me, how's it going, Grammy? I tell him all things are possible. And that if people vote, all things are possible. And I just leave it there.
Okay. All right. And it's been a new experience for you as well.
Oh.
Right.
Kind absolutely. Something I've never really considered doing was running for office. But the time was now. And someone needed to oppose what's going on and, right. and provide an option to those who would vote.
A very worthy opponent. Yeah, that's what I've said about what we've got with our candidates here, our Democrat candidates, and I'm glad I finally got to see that transpire. Anyway, we're going to talk more about your election. We come back with our final 15 minutes or so. Connor's going to take us to our last series of breaks, and if you do that, please, sir, back with Beth Smith, back with Jonathan Yancey right after this. Stay with us. Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry, if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com. Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry, if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com. Okay. All right, and we are back for our last few minutes here, folks. You're gonna be heading out of here. We won't probably see you again until election night. We've talked about this. The turnout is so bleak. Brian Barrett and I set up the election headquarters. We set up the election headquarters for Rutherford County, and we looked at the turnout: 9%, 11%, 10%. If we were to hit 15, I think we'd both be clicking our heels, saying, "You know, this is great. You know, this and it's pitiful.
Yeah,
it's really pitiful.
Yeah.
I mean, and both of you are right. We have Democrats. You know, the president was right. President Obama, get off your couch and go vote. You know, you're registered. Go vote." Mm-hmm. And wife checked our registrations over the last couple of weeks just to be sure.
That's right. I mean, ain't that the same?
You know. Yeah. And we have voted in every election we could since we were 18.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
It's an exercise.
It's important to me.
It is important. It's something that I feel like, you know, when I listen to older, when I listen to generations before me, you know, they talk about how they grew up, you know, learning civics, and there was more time of government.
I know.
And we don't have that. And so I think what's happened over the years is we've lost the understanding behind the power of the vote. I also think you mentioned during break that in 25 years you lived in your house, you've only had one person ever knock on your door as
one
a candidate.
Person.
And I think that's unfortunate, too. I think the challenge, now granted, we're both candidates, and it is hard. It's hard for me to reach out to 20,000 people, me alone.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
But I do think that's a missing element. I think that I don't think that people are getting out there and engaging with people. That's by my hope. That's why I've spent so much time and energy knocking on doors, because I know that is the way to get people there. They need to see a face, right? They don't just need to see a flyer.
They need
to see a face. They need to hear a voice. They need to see a smile. They need to get a handshake, you know?
Right.
That's what it takes. I think we got to get back to some of the grassroots of just organizing and just knocking on doors and just saying, hey, it is election time. Let's go. Let's vote. Let's get out here and let's do this thing.
This is such an historic time for us, because we can. Well, the whole truth of the matter is Hillary was elected president. You know, Donald, if you're listening, you got beat in your first election by a girl. I hope he's about to get beat by this little black girl. You know, Jimmy Kimmel asked Doug Emhoff, said, "What was it like when you found out your wife was black? What was that like when she turned black on you?" I'm sure it was a shock. We're talking crazy stuff here.
Yeah.
This is serious business.
Yep. Yes.
I mean, you know, this woman, you know, I mean, I would have loved to have interviewed her, obviously. I would.
Oh, yeah.
And the first thing I'd have said, somebody said, "What would be one of the first things you'd?" I'd say, if it was during the first part of the campaign, "Welcome to the deep end of the pool."
Yeah.
You know, because you talk about getting thrown into it. Mm-hmm. She really did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I think she's done remarkable. Over $1 billion, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's a new generation.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I love to see the young people getting involved and feeling like there is someone that represents them. And that's crucial. And we can build from that. And that's what we have to do.
Well, listen to the Who. We don't get fooled again, you know. That's from our generation.
I know.
You know why are you ducking your head? Don't you?
Because I don't want to laugh out loud.
What are we going to do? I mean, we're going to take some of those get young pills. If you can find any, let me know.
I do that every time I get out and hang out with young people.
There you go.
That's my young deal.
You know, our mother always used to say, as you get older, stay with these young people.
Mm-hmm.
They will keep you thinking young. You know, they've got ideas. All of us, most of our ideas will never pan out. But boy, when you get that young person with a good idea and got good book sense, good common sense, and they mix together, man, it's a sheer joy to see that come together.
It really is.
And I've seen it time and time again.
Historically, the youth have been how we've made change, right?
I mean, exactly.
Think about the civil rights movement. Civil rights movement. People oftentimes, we think about those legends. because we think about them in their adult age, but they were 18, 19, 20 years old.
Sure. You know?
Well, they would send their children out to protest because they couldn't, they wouldn't lose wages.
Absolutely.
And if the children got locked up, they generally got out really quick.
So, sure, they don't want to put up with them. They ain't going to put up with them. So, no, you want a bunch of teenagers staying at your house? No. I've been there. Yeah, I've been there too. You know, I mean, our daughter had turned, Lauren had turned like 13 or 14. Okay. We have the pool out back. Well, they all came over for the birthday party. Okay. All night deal. Okay. This is on a Friday night. Wake up the next morning. I walk into our family room. I've never seen so many panties and bras laying everywhere in my life from a bunch of little girls, 14, 15-year-old girls. Now, this could be dangerous if I was a younger man. But I said, I'm going back to bed, okay?
Good choice.
Yeah, good idea.
And they were already in the pool at like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. I said, what is going on? What's wrong with these people anyway? You know, but... That's young people for they love that. I mean, don't get me wrong, they weren't skinny dipping. They were in their bathing suits and all. But I mean, having a ball, man. Mm-hmm. Having a blast.
So yeah. You know, talking about young people, kind of going off of what Jeff asked earlier, you know, with my mm-hmm. race, you know, the my district's very diverse in a lot of different ways, including sure. age. And so, you know, I'm very optimistic, and I feel very good about this race. I've tried to put my best foot forward. I tell people, you know, my whole life, I've done really well with work. I've always done really well.
Right.
I've advanced at a young age. I'm not very old, but I've had a lot of experiences professionally that many people my age wouldn't have had, because I've worked really hard. I've always worked really hard, worked really smart, and I've done really well. The challenge with running as a candidate, though, is that I do have some influence, but this is the first time in my career where I am reliant upon other people to put me into a place. Like my efforts could get me only so far, but it's going to take 12, 13, 14,000 people to say, yes, we want you to have the job. And I think that's important. Right. And so I do feel, you know, going back to Jeff's question, I feel very good about it. I've talked to many, many people. And the campaign's been well received, and very supported. And if people get up and go vote, if they as we talked about President Obama earlier, if they get off the couch and go vote, and we will make change here in District 13, and we will make change here in Senate 14.
Right.
If people go out to vote, and I think people understand it is not just about your one vote. It is a collective vote. You're right. One vote may not change everything, but if we have a collection of one votes, it turns into thousands, and thousands turns into 10,000s. And then when it happens, create the change, and we put them on notice. The biggest thing here is we got to put the people that are in office right now, we need to put them on notice. We need to let them know that their time is up, that they're watching them. We're watching you. We're looking for accountability. That's something that they haven't had any accountability.
They haven't had to.
They haven't had to. And they haven't had people run against them that's truly trying to win a race. And that's different this time around. And this is why everyone's running scared.
Well, and you're not running to take anything away from anyone. No. You're running to win for yourself. And, you know, another thing, too, that has got me about this whole deal. You know, when you run, and Jonathan, in your case, and Beth, I have no idea how many people vote in that district that you're in, but you have how many people live in your district?
It's about 65,000.
About 65,000. Mm-hmm. Whether they vote or not, they are your employer.
That's right.
Because if something happens, you will be one of the first they call.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And it's been turned around over the years to where, I'm the boss here. I'm the elected. No, you are not the boss. Yeah,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
This is the people.
This use of language has been, and by gerrymandering districts where we bring, where we bring the people in, and used to the politicians had to go out and they took the politician to the people. Now the people are being managed to where you vote in a certain district a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And Beth, you mentioned it the other night. Everybody I might say, and everybody, listen to me, Republicans, everybody keeps records, okay? Mm-hmm. We know where those Democrats are, don't we, Beth? Yeah.
I don't know where they all are today, but I'm going to find them.
But there's
them.
A bunch, there's a bunch.
Yes.
Yeah, but
and
they're
we're
going
to have fun, right. And we're going to talk about issues, and we're going to move forward.
Right.
Because that's what we do in Tennessee, and this is not our first rodeo in Tennessee with this kind of drama. And I remember very well when I was a child how crazy everything was in the 60s in Tennessee.
Oh, yes.
And
Kentucky
then,
too. I remember it, yeah.
And you know. And ultimately, we remembered who we are. We're huggers. We're not haters.
That's right.
And we got to move forward and get back to who we have been always. We take care of each other.
That's right.
We
that's
don't make homeless criminal. Yep. Oh.
I know. That's, and it's important to lift people up and not talk people down.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And provide the resources to create the environment for people to rise up anyway.
We have 3 minutes left. Beth, I want you to go first. How can people get a hold of you? Tell them about yourself, where you're going to be, and what's going on.
I'm on Bell Street. Okay. 326 East Bell. My phone number is 615-414-5047. I'm on Facebook, E.R. Smith. Where else? I don't know. I just hired, or I didn't hire him. He's volunteering, Aiden Pratt, and he has done my website page. He's a consultant, and he's very creative. We'll be doing virtual town halls this week. We've done a survey I haven't looked at yet. It just ended. So we're very busy for the next few weeks, and, of course, walking around and knocking doors.
Jonathan? Last shot before you leave here.
That's it. VoteJonathanYancey.com. Looking forward to earning your vote, and just get out there. You know, it is a critical election. I know we hear that a lot, but it is. It is an election of our lives. The many times I've talked to so many people, there's a lot of concern out there. And I hope that Beth and I have shown tonight that there are options. You actually do have options this time around. Whether it's my district, her district. District 49 with Luis, Amelia Pont in 34, Sherry Brown in 37. There are options out there in Rutherford County.
Matt Ferry,
and I forgot his district number, but yeah, there's options out there. So just make sure you get to the ballot and look down the ballot. Don't just pick the top. Make sure you go all the way down and vote all the way down. We hope that you vote a Democratic candidate in.
Thank you both for being here. And I'll tell you what, Connor's going to play us out. And until next Sunday night. You know, at 8 o'clock, this is Ed Raymer for the Ed and Lee Raymer Show. I'll catch you down the road.